Welcome, everybody. I'm glad you arrived here safely. Just before we start, just again, a welcome from the Wayne Assembly. We're very happy to have so many guests from many different corners of, I believe, mostly North America. So welcome. Just a few notes. These are coming from an older brother. We are told to be punctual with the time, as before. And please, no food or drinks in here unless you must absolutely have water. That's it. So as you know, we are here to discuss leprosy and remedy. And you might think that to gather a group of young people together and talk about a pretty awful and disgusting disease, we have to figure out, what is the connection? Why is it that the decision was made to discuss leprosy? And more importantly, why is it that there's so much in Scripture regarding this one particular disease? You have it in the Old Testament. You have many examples in the New Testament. So to start and to open, I would like to turn to Genesis chapter 6. I'm only going to bring a few scriptures. I trust the three lectures will have you very busy in your Bible. So please take notes, record the scriptures, read them again, read the chapters in which they are contained, and explore on your own in a future date. So in Genesis 6, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and perfect or upright in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Now, anyone who reads these verses, most especially a believer, will come to the conclusion that they would like to be associated with Noah in this scripture. We each have an innate desire to be seen as righteous, to be seen as good. And for the believer, this is really the energy of the Holy Spirit working in us so that as we walk here, we are in fact righteous. We are in fact different. We are in fact separate from the world. But even in unbelievers, think of the amount of effort that unbelievers or the world in general goes through to make themselves appear righteous. Even they who are not righteous, who don't have the Lord, they don't like being associated with that which is wicked necessarily. Think of even Satan. He disguised himself as a serpent. And we now fear snakes and serpents, but not before the fall. This was a beautiful creature. It appeared to be wonderful, something that was pleasing, and yet underneath it was sin. Underneath there was no righteousness. Now, if there are any here who are not believers, I have to say to you that you cannot find any satisfaction in terms of this struggle of being right, being good without Christ. You can only be righteous through Christ. And if we show you nothing less today, please let that be it. But for the believer, the Holy Spirit is trying to mold your will to be equal to God's will, so that what God's will in your life is, you act it out. That is the idea of righteousness. Now, the trouble is, we fail so often. We all know this. We want to be the one that God looks at and says, this is a good man. This is a good woman. We say many times, I want to go to heaven and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But why is it that we so often fail in our thoughts, in our deeds, in what we say, in what we think, in what we do, where we go, who we spend time with? We know it's not right, and yet we do it. And so today, through the study of leprosy, we hope to give you some form of encouragement, some form of direction in your life on dealing with sin. In Hebrews, it says, sin which so easily besets us. This means that it's not difficult to fall. It's not something that is impossible. It's not something beyond the Christian. It happens. But notice that verse does not stop there. It says, looking unto Jesus. And that's the first step. That's why an unbeliever has no standing, has no hope of righteousness. You must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That is in Hebrews 12. Now, I would like to look at a few other verses just to set the tone for this very innate search for righteousness, being good. How is it we can be successful in this? So in Romans 8, verse 2. So looking onto Jesus, we cannot look within ourselves. We cannot look around. We cannot try to read a book. We cannot try to follow a law. There are unjust laws in this world. It's not the answer. We must look onto Jesus. But in Romans 8, verse 2, what does it mean to look onto Jesus? We hear this. We know what it means to pray. We know what it means to read our Bible. But how is it that we can emulate him? Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So, looking onto Christ as your Savior, you are free. The law of sin and death has no grip on you anymore. And this is necessary. We must understand we are not bound by sin anymore. As much as we may feel helpless and lost in its grip at moments in our life, maybe even now. Maybe even now we might be struggling with the sin of inattentiveness when we should be attentive. Or tiredness when we should have went to bed earlier. These silly sort of little things which we don't want to call sins, but be whatever they are, they are. So we are free. It is a fact. It is stated. We are not slaves of sin anymore. That's in Romans 6. We are now servants of righteousness. But yet you look right back in the prior chapter. We always read 7 and then 8 in Romans, but I like to read 8 and then 7. Chapter 7, verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, Paul obviously takes us into Romans 8 so that he establishes where the believer is. And that's necessary. But we have to understand that Paul himself was going through this same struggle. He wasn't saying that just because this is true that you are free, that you will never feel and act as if you are not free. And so the second step is recognizing that the work is never over. Yes, we are free, but the war is always going on. The war between the natural man and the flesh and the spiritual man, the Holy Spirit working in you. It's a war. It's a battle. There's two laws warring against each other. Now, we would all agree with this. And I think what brings us to leprosy is something that may be missing in our lives when it comes to sin. And so I'd like to look in Psalm 38 quickly. We know we're free. We know there's a war. And there may be many things missing in our lives, but I believe there is this one. Psalm 38, verse 5. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. But specifically, verse 5 in the beginning, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I do not believe that I, or many of us, perhaps, have an honest, true assessment of what sin actually is. and how awful it is, how much God detests it, how disgusting, for lack of a better word, says a wound stinketh. If sin stunk to us, if it was bitter, if we saw it for what it was, instead of the serpent, beautiful, colorful, sleek, quiet, but this is a nasty creature. And God showed that to man through that. It's the same thing here. If we could appreciate the awfulness of sin and realize the burden it was for Christ on the cross, especially during those 3 hours of darkness, I believe we would have more success. We are free. There's a war going on. But let's be honest. Let's be honest with how awful sin is. Let's not gloss it over and say, this is not a big deal. If I go here, yeah, they're going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And it's not going to affect me. But listen, that may be true. You might go to this party or whatever it is. You know, I'm not even going to say whatever. You might go to a party. There might be drinking there. There might be other things going on there and you don't partake in it. But does that mean the wounds don't stink? They do. And you're there. And the stink, it affects you. It will change you. And we have to understand this and believe this. We have to know it is very serious. So this is where leprosy comes in. Because it was an awful disease. It was awful. It overtook the body. People could see it. I'm sure it stunk. When you read of open wounds, and we're going to be in Leviticus 13. When you read of open wounds, there was a smell. There was a disgust associated with it. This is why. Well, first of all, it was dealt with because it was a health problem. And it was a terrible disease. But secondly, it's in Scripture. Okay, it's in Scripture because it is meant to show us a type of active sin in our life. Open, active wounds in our lives that need to be dealt with. And so when you look in Leviticus 13, and we will be there much today, when you look in Leviticus 13, you see that right away, in verse 3, Leviticus 13, verse 3, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, the end of the verse, and pronounce him unclean. So the priest shall look and pronounce him unclean. So again, we are looking onto Jesus. This is not just a one-time thing. He's always in our lives. And so he is our high priest. Now people can help you too. You confess your faults to one another. So sin is not, it must first of all be between you and the Lord. But there is a very important measure that often should be taken. If you're having trouble dealing with sin in your life, confess your fault. Because now you're responsible not only to the Lord, and sometimes in our weakness, in the weakness of our faith, because we don't see the Lord with our eyes, there's a lack and it should not be there. But if it's a brother or a sister, and now you've shared, now that responsibility is, you see it. You can own to it more easily sometimes than you can to the Lord. So the priest declares unclean. And as you go through the chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, there are so many measures taken. There's washing. There are birds. There's a sacrifice. Okay, there's a blood sacrifice. There is the washing of clothes. Okay, there's the cleaning of houses. There's burning of garments. There's scrape. They scrape the sides of the house. It was work. There was pain involved. It was painful to clean. All of this, the priest declared him unclean and then action took place. But first, he had to show the priest. And sometimes the man, he knows he's sick, but the priest is the one who told him he's unclean. So it's the realization of the awfulness of sin. When you come to, in this chapter, in verse 17, when you read through this, I mean, this verse is always, read it like, what's going on here? So you read verse 17, the priest shall see him. Behold, if the plague turn into white, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, that hath the plague, he is clean. So you have the plague totally overtaking the body. If it turn into white, then the priest shall clean him clean. That hath the plague, he is clean. So how is this? You go through, if you read it, and we'll read, there's wounds on the arm, wounds on the hair, that's later on, in the clothes, all of this. And then all of a sudden, you get to a point where the whole body is overtaken. There's nothing left that's untouched by the disease. How is it that the priest then declares him clean? He's covered in sin. He's covered in leprosy. But see, it's a progression. First you go, you show, you realize, you declare it unclean. The measures are taken to deal with the sin. But if it continues, as it does, eventually we get to a point where we're done. There's no energy left within us. We cannot battle anymore. We cannot fight within ourselves. We have been overtaken. This is why you don't have to turn there. It's the last verse I'll read. It's earlier in Psalm 38. Before verse 7, it says in verse 4, mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. Then they are too heavy for me. This is where the leper is in verse 17 of Leviticus 13. This is Psalm 38:4. They're too heavy for him. He can no longer deal with it. And so just as a overview, as an introduction, a big picture look, be honest with the awfulness of sin. Don't hide it. Confess it to the Lord. Confess it to a brother or a sister. And that doesn't mean it has to be an older brother. It's going to be an equal. That's really what's meant there. An equal. A contemporary. Someone you know and are close to. Confess it to them. Go through the motions. But realize, not go through just them. I don't mean it in the vernacular. I mean, do what's necessary to deal with the sin. But in the end, realize, you have to realize it is too heavy for you alone. You must give this burden to the Lord. You must be willing to do what he has for you. And then, and only then, will you be pronounced clean. So I just hope that those words might serve as an overview of what we're doing. And please, just let's be attentive. Let's think of our own lives. Let's examine ourselves. We do that before we break bread. Let's do it now. Let's examine ourselves. Let's think. What in my life do I need to change? Do I want to make this day a moment in my life going forward where I deal with sin more properly? For his name's sake, I believe now we have a time of him, of singing.